Okay, so we'll try to wrap up this again. Shaman's eyes over here. The plan is for everybody to have gone past Sugya of Shem Zayis as soon as possible. The next Sugya is Kimcha Dechiti, which is not a difficult Sugya, but it'll have repercussions later on in the parak. But for now, it goes pretty straightforward. I attempted to email Mara Mekaymus for the last. Basically, what I did was I included the Mishnah Brura on Shemen. Once set in Shulchan Aruch, but it's worth it to learn through the Mishnah Berurah. If we do it like this, piecemeal on each Halakha Gemara that we learn the Mishnah Berurah, we actually stand a better chance of getting through Hilchos Brachos as we do it. It's not so overwhelming, so it's a good idea to learn Mishnah Berurah as you go along. He also helps with the clarity of the maskana of the sugya. Anyway, the next sugya is Kemach, which is not difficult, and then the sugya right after that, which is Kura, is also not a difficult sugya. It's interesting that you do have to, it's parts of palm, and it's very worth it to take the Kura is parts of palm. It's worth it to check up online. I shouldn't be telling you to do this, but it's worth it to see a video of how it is processed and how it is harvested. It'll help you understand the Gemara a lot better. If you see exactly how it's harvested and how it's processed, how it's grown, how it's farmed, it really will help you with understanding the Gemara. And then the next Gemara is all about Slav. That's a very, very sadistic Gemara. So Kura is not a difficult Gemara as well. But the next Sugya that really takes, that goes till the end of Lamavim Beis, that is a difficult Sugya. And Slav, which is capers, caper bush in English, also you should try to get an image of the various different parts of it. It's all available. What we find in our groceries, they only sell capers, which is the kafrisin. We'll see in the Gemara. But there's other parts of it, which in the Middle Eastern, where the countries where they grow, it's sold, is the tamarois and the forget the name, Avionis, those are sold over there, and the images of them are available. It's also very important to see how it grows, to see, it'll help you understand the Gemara as well. So, a little background that sees is helpful.
Caper
bush? Caper, yeah.
What do they eat though?
What?
They eat everything?
The Gemara's time, they eat everything. We, in your grocery, you'll find the capers are edible. The capers aren't actually a fruit of the bush. The capers are actually the thing before the flower. The fruit is actually the Avionis. But that's not what's marketed globally. That's only locally they use it.
Tomorrow's
is something on the well, whatever. You'll see. You can try to figure it out. Good luck. Anyway, let's get down to Shemen. Let's take apart the sugya of Shemen. Okay, so it's fascinating Gemara over here with Shemen. The Gemara has the assumption that if you drink Shemen straight, there's no way you make a bracha. At least the way Rashi learns, you don't make a bracha at all because it's masik. So Rashi says, why wouldn't you make a bracha, even though it's mazik? So Rashi says, because it says ve'achalta by bracha. You need an achila, and this doesn't qualify as an achila. Why? Because it's mazik. How do we know that something that's mazik you does not qualify as an achila? We prove that from truma, right? There's the halacha by truma that you're only obligated to pay if you did something which is qualified as an achila. So this is not qualified as an achila. You don't pay. Likewise, you don't make a bracha. Now, it was an interesting Rabbi Akiva Eger over here. What's more interesting about it is just the insight that you get from this Rabbi Akiva Eger as to what halachically qualifies as an achila. Meaning to say, Rabbi asks like this. He says that there is a halacha that if you were to eat the juice of different fruit, right? Say if you were to squeeze out a cherry and drink cherry juice, you are not chai for tashlum mitrumah, because that's also not called an achila. Why is that not called an achila? Because it's shalaki derech chlasen. Cherries are not harvested and they're not grown to produce cherry juice. It's an unusual thing. They're not meant for that. And I mean, the Gemara's time come out, none of the fruits were juiced. It was very unusual to juice any fruits. Certainly, I mean, now I think cherries pretty much also, they're not generally juiced. So if you drink cherry juice, you're not chayv to pay for truma because the shaloike derech achila. It's not eating it in its normal way, and therefore it's not an achila. And I said, the Rebbe says, it's pashut, you have to make a bracha on cherry juice. That's nothing to talk about. It's very edible, very tasty. Not maziku. So he thinks it's very strange that the way Rashi is understanding, what are we proving from the fact that it doesn't have a shem achila, a halachic achila, that doesn't show you so much. Something doesn't have a halachic shem achila doesn't mean you don't make a bracha. That's his question. So what is important to understand here is as follows. There's two types of shalaki derech achila. If someone eats something that's very, very hot or very, very bitter, in and spicy to the point where it's unedible, right? So that is shulei kederach achila, because it's not eating. It's not a ma'isa achila. Or another example is if someone is so stuffed to the gills that whatever he's eating is pashut giving him no sustenance, is really hurting him, right? That's achila gasa, where it's totally doing nothing for you and it's hurting you to eat. That's also not called an achila. You're puffing in kippah if you eat like that, right? So if you eat Arab and Kippur, you mamish stuffed yourself up till here.
What about for that first bit?
I'm saying, let's say the Anim Kippur, Arab and Kippur, till you made it till Shkia, you stuffed yourself mamish till here, you know, and then you eat, and you're platzing, right? So you're saying, yeah, you're pater, not mutter, but it's pater. Yeah, please, yeah. Alright, this is for demonstration purposes only. Yeah, anyway, so, in any case, so it's, yeah. Yeah, so that's also not an achila, right? But there's something wrong with your ma'isa achila. That's not a normal way of eating. Whereas the cherry juice, the item, is not a normal item. That's why it's not a kederach achila. It's a whole different type of shlei kederach achila. It's very different. Now, here Rashi's saying that eating shemen is not a normal way of eating. It hurts you. It's not good for your throat. It's not, unless you're a sore throat, but it's not a good thing to eat. So it's similar to achila gasa, or something that's burning hot, etc., which is not a ma'isa achila, it's not a normal way to eat. And Rebbe Kveger is making a comparison to something which is not a normal food to eat. Right? And he's saying that, well, if you see they are equivalent, that they're both not called achila, and that one you do make a bracha on, so this one too. So it's just interesting, he's lumping it all together, Rebbe Kveger, and he's asking that on Rashi, that what do you see from the fact that it's not an achila? Whereas really there are two different types of shlei kederach achila. One is shlei kederach achila because if the food is not normally eaten, that's like cherries, etc., cherry juice, whereas we're talking about stuff that's not kederach achila because it's not normal to eat it that way. So that's an interesting point. But it's just interesting, the point I'm trying to make mainly is that it's just interesting how understanding of when the Torah classifies something as achila or doesn't classify something as achila, not everything is made out of the same mold. There's different types of shlei kederach achila which knock out the shem achila, but they're not all the same, and they'll have different halachas, obviously, than your brachas.
Is there a third category also with just tasting itself? Like, yeah. I know we don't eat.
You haven't actually eaten. You mean?
Maybe you want to. You're adding it as a part of the ingredients to something, and you're going right. To taste it.
So that wouldn't change the ma'isa achila. That wouldn't be an effect the achila. That hilchos brachas gets affected by that,
uh-huh.
Right? But not in. Halachically, achila is the same.
Correct. The achila itself.
Okay, so that's one har. Now, in this actual point that the Rashi says that something that's mazik, you don't make a bracha at all. So the Rambam, I handed it out last time. The Rambam is chaylik. Now, la halacha we hold like Rashi. For the record, you'll see it in Mishnah Rura, where you don't make a bracha at all. But the Rambam is chaylik. The Rambam says make a shahakal. Now, this Rambam happens to be an interesting Rambam for a number of reasons. So we'll get back to it in a minute, but. For now, just this point, the Rambam says, "Avolim shasa hashemen levadoi." He says another case, which we'll get to in a minute, which is interesting. Mevarachal of shahakol. Why? Shalina hena b'tam hashemen. So he translates the Gemara, which Gemara says your mazik. He says shalina hena b'tam hashemen. Interesting chat. We have to know where he got this from. Now the Bach says in a number some. Of the Eilam, Yeshua, someone else also, had been admired that the Gemara later sounds like the Rambam. Because the Gemara later has this case of Mei Sa'irim, of, what was it, Mei Sa'irim? No, Kemach Sa'irim. Flour, barley flour. The Gemara says that I would think you shouldn't make a bracha on it because it's kashu l'kukiyani, it's some sort of parasite that brings into your stomach. So I would think you don't make a bracha. Kamash Mulan, the Gemara says, "Kiven de mishani, even since you have ano, you do." But in any case, the Gemara, the Bach says this is a proof. Let's just put it that way, right? So what does the Gemara say? Halachas, you make a shahakal on this thing. You make a shahakal on this barley flour. The Gemara says it's mazik you, right? And I would thought you don't make a bracha at all. The Gemara says you have ano, so you make a bracha. But what bracha do you make? You make a shahakal, right? So the way the Bach seems to be understanding is that. The Rambam deduced from this Gemara, why is it that you make a shahakal on barley flour? Because it's mazik you. So you see that something which is mazik you, you make a shahakal. That's the proof that the Bach is bringing. The difficulty with this proof is that the Gemara quite clearly says that barley flour you do get hana from. And that is why you make a bracha. And the Rambam here said that shemen zayis, you do not have anah. Ein nehen b'tam shemen. You don't have anah from oil. And yet he still says you make a shahakal. Right? In other words, if anything, the Gemara is a Ryan, not like him. The Gemara says, really, you shouldn't make a bracha on barley flour. Because it hurts you. Why do you? Because you do have hanah. Otherwise, you shouldn't make any bracha, not even shahakal. And the Rambam says that you make a shahakal, shaharei ein nehen b'tam shemen. You're not having hanah. So it doesn't make sense. If you're not having anah, and it's mazik, like the Gemara says, you shouldn't make any bracha. Right? So the Bach brings this Gemara as a source, and if anything, the Gemara seems to be a stira, a head-on collision with this Rambam. That's a problem with this Rambam. So again, the Rambam is chaylik on Rashi. Rashi says that mazik means you don't make a bracha at all. Rashi, if anything, is supported by the Gemara later, when the Gemara says that we thought you shouldn't make a bracha at all on barley, because it's mazik you. Right, it causes you damage. Then the Gemara says, no, you have hanah, but shemen you don't. The Rambam says that even though you don't have hanah from shemen, you still make a bracha, so we have to reconcile that with the Gemara later, but we'll see in a second, this Rambam is more complicated than that. There's an interesting case, which I mentioned to some guys, but I saw that the Shu's Maramshik about it. What happens if something is mazik you in different ways? For example, someone's a diabetic and he wants to eat a big piece of chocolate cake. Does he make a bracha? Terrible for him. Going to kill him. Right? Someone has, coronary heart disease, right? And he wants to eat a bucket of Crisco. Or whatever. You know, does he, doctor standing and telling him, listen, tomorrow you're going to be in the emergency area. Food allergies, right, etc. Do you make a bracha? That's mazik. It tastes very good. But it is mazik you. So that's what's interesting. In this Gemara, yeah. Mazik sounds like it means it doesn't taste good or it hurts your throat. It's like it doesn't appeal to you, right? Whereas this Mazik in this Gemara with barley flour, it says there's no problem with the food. It's just going to bring a parasite. That's more of a comparison to what we're talking about. But the truth is that Gemara says Yitaka do make a bracha. But at least a shahakal. So maybe you would make a bracha on the cake, but you'd make a shahakal? That's the question. But Ram Shikha says is very interesting. Ram Shikha says you don't make a bracha. He says, why? You're doing an avera. He says, Nishmartu Ma'adon HaShaseichem. He says, an achilas iser. So you don't make a bracha. Really? So he says. That's halacha later, that if you do achilas iser, there's no, you don't make a bracha. Like if you steal something, you don't make a bracha on it. There's achilas iser. So, so there you have it.
He says that for what? He says,
for someone that food is dangerous to him specifically, a certain food is dangerous to him, if he eats it.
Not for all sweets, for everyone.
That's getting carried away a little, but yeah, that's a. Yeah. We make a bracha on cigarettes, you know, maybe then we could. What?
What would we say about churros and rice?
What do you mean? If someone who's dangerous for him, would it be considered an achil, you mean? So I think it would be, right. I'm saying, the chur, you're nehena. So that seems to be the. So a hilchas achila would probably qualify.
So you say shahakum.
That's truma's mice. Food, broccoli, you mean. You eat it. Oh, you would know if you eat something that's also to eat, like truma? If you ate. Oh, you don't? No, you don't make a bracha. No, you don't make a bracha. No. Yeah, if you eat real iser, you don't make a bracha. Yeah. Okay, bracha point is more like what? What do you say?
Desert island, and all of it can eat, it's positive.
Yeah, so no. So if it's mutter for you to eat, you do. Like a chayla that eats in Yom Kippur. Yeah. So give me a call.
Like
a
mitzvah.
Yeah.
It's like a mitzvah. Yeah.
Right. There's two svaras there. Mitzvah Avera and Batei Avera. Yeah. Anyway, that's an interesting thing. Akapanim, that's one nekuda in this Rambam. Now, before we get to the next nekuda, let's just examine the Gemara over here, Vaita. So then the Gemara wants to find this case where it is that you make a bracha on shemen. The Gemara's problem that keeps on running into is that it's always a tuffle. Either bread, it's a tuffle, and then the Gemara says when you eat it together with a nigrin, it's a tuffle. Finally, the Gemara comes on to a case of someone who has a sore throat that he puts in shemen harbe. You put a lot of shemen into that nigrin, and then you have a sore throat, so then the shemen is a nigrin. Now, there's a mechalek zushainim. By the time when the dust settles in the Gemara, what is the real reason why the shemen is the ikar? Is it because you have a sore throat? And if you don't have a sore throat, the shemen is a tuffle? Or is it because you put in shemen harbe? And by putting in Shemen Harbe, you've shown that that's the main part of this drink. Now, just to clarify, everybody agrees, or Paiskim as well, Harbe does not mean ripe. Right? Harbe just means a lot, more than the regular. Right? So if you usually put it in a tablespoon, you put it in a cup. But it's not ripe. The ripe is still the anigrin. Right? That's clear in the Paiskim as well. So, as the Machlokes Rishonim here is brought down in the Torah. The two contenders here is the Bahag and Rabbeinu Yosef. So Rabbeinu Yosef over here says that not specifically Chayshish B'Groinai. Even if you're not a Chayshish B'Groinai, anytime you put in a lot of oil, you make a bracha on the olive oil. Now, the Bahag says no, unless you have a sore throat, you make a bracha on the nigrin, and the Shem Zayis is a tafel. So the tour... Well, I'm sorry.
You have a sore throat and you don't put in a lot of oil?
If you have a sore throat and you don't put in a lot of oil, so then apparently it doesn't really help. In other words, then it is still, you're not drinking, that sounds like everybody agrees. Then you're not drinking it for the oil.
Even though you are drinking it.
Even though you might be, right. But in other words, then you haven't defined it as a sore throat drink. Right, that everybody agrees to.
Then you make Adam.
Then you for sure make Adam, right. So it's only, questions only, a lot of oil, does a sore throat make a difference or not?
Uh-huh.
That's the question, right. But one or the other. So the Tur asks a very odd question. He says, I don't understand the Bahag. I understand Rabbi Yosef that says if you put a lot of oil, the Shemen is the Iker. I don't understand the Bahag that says that it depends on if you have a sore throat. Because he says, if you have a sore throat, that means you're drinking it for Refuah. Right? And he says, Refuah is the Svara to make a bracha or not to make a bracha? He says, generally, Refuah is the Svara not to make a bracha. Right? When you're drinking something for a fool, the Gemara keeps on saying, oh, I would have thought you don't make a bracha because you're doing it for a fool. So why would it be a svara that since you're doing it for a fool, therefore you should make a bracha on it, and if not for a fool, you don't? Because it doesn't make sense. It's always the opposite. Drinking something for a fool is a reason not to make a bracha. So again, Rabbeinu Yosef says that if it's a lot of oil, you make a bracha on the oil. Little oil, not. The Bahag says, even if it's a lot of oil, no. It has to be the refuah. Then you make a bracha on the oil. Otherwise, you make a bracha on the anigrin, right? Zak the Torah, no. What do you mean? Only if you're drinking the refuah, you make a bracha on the Shemen Zayis? The opposite. Drinking the refuah should take away. Should be lots of reason, right? That's his question.
What's the
ikr? So the Dr. Moshe here asks, he says, I don't know what the Torah is talking about. No one said you shouldn't make a bracha. The question is, which bracha to make? Right? The question is, which one's the ikr and which one's the tafel? So why, what does the Torah want? Yeah, if it's a refuah, then it's the ikr, because then that determines that this is the main point of the drink, where if it's not a refuah, then it, by no means is the oil ever going to be the main point. But refuah is not a question of yes, making a bracha, not making a bracha. You're making a bracha regardless. The question is just which bracha. The question is, which one is the main? He doesn't understand what the Torah wants.
Who?
Not what he says. But then what's his question? No, so explain his question.
So you make a bracha on the anigrin. That's the thing, you don't make any bracha.
So then what was his question then?
The question was, it makes more sense to say that you make a bracha on the shemen if it's not bracha.
Why? But he's saying, no, but his question is...
The question is, why are you eating shemen?
Right.
In the anigrin, that's the question.
Okay. The question is like this. The question is, which one's the ikr, which one's the tafel, right? So Bahag says it'll only be the ikr if it's lerfuah.
Right, but that doesn't make sense, because lerfuah is the reason not to make a bracha. So,
but we're making a bracha, that's not the issue. That's what Bar Dakumash is saying. That's not the issue here. We're making a bracha.
He's talking about the bracha.
Bracha we're making. I know, but you're making a bracha on it. It's not like you're not making a bracha on it. The question is just, which one's the ikr, right? So why would you, if it's the ikr, why is the fact that it's an ikr because of lerfuah less of a reason to make a bracha? Refuah is just a tanai. It's just a. It's not determining whether you should make a bracha. I'm just saying, it's not. Refuah is not determining should you make a bracha or not make a bracha. Refuah is just determining rikr. So why is the Torah Svara question on that? He's the question that refuah is usually a reason not to make a bracha. Okay, but that's not the issue here.
He's saying that refuah is the reason to make this an ikr.
So what's wrong? What is your problem with that? Isn't it? Shouldn't it be? Why shouldn't it be?
I don't know what the problem with the Dark Emoji is.
No, the Dark Emoji, that's very good. Why shouldn't refuah be a good reason to make something an ikr? That's the reason why you're drinking this. Now it's an ikr.
Because refuah is not a reason to make a bracha, like you just said.
But that's not the question here. The question is, which one's the ikr, not which one to make a bracha on. It's the question of, what's the point of this food?
Refuah is not a reason to make something an ikr, either.
That would be a different question.
That's also true.
That's not what he asks. That's not what the Torah asks. The Torah says you're not being a hen. The Torah asks a different question. But now let's just address your question. Now, your question is a good question. Let's talk about that question itself. That's really a question on the Gemara, then, for the same money. Well, it's a question on the Gemara. No, in other words, like this. Let me give you an example. If you, let's say your kid decides that he's eating some food, I don't know, let's think of a food. He's drinking grape juice, and he wants it to make his tongue blue. So he puts in a lot of blue food coloring into it, right? By him, that's the main thing. His tongue should turn blue, right? That's what he wants. He wants his tongue to turn blue, right? So you're going to say, okay, so now the blue food coloring is the ikar, and the grape juice is the tuffle, is really what he's trying to get his tongue blue. And it should make a shahakal, right? Now, you wouldn't say that for a number of reasons, but one of the reasons why you wouldn't say that is because coloring your tongue blue is not a food property. It might do that, but that's not one of the properties you make a bracha on. Right, so it's not going to change anything in Hilchos Brachos. Even Ikar and Tuffel is not going to change anything because it's not a food. It's not an aspect of food. It's a different quality, right, which has nothing to do with food. So likewise, a refuah quality is not a food quality. It's not something which should determine a Hilchos Brachos. It's not a benefit. It's not a food benefit you're getting, right? So it's not a reason to read the main kaveh of the bracha. That's what you're asking, right? You're saying I have a shemen and I have what? It doesn't sound like that's what the Torah is asking. He says, "Lem is hani minei." I guess you could try to squeeze it in there. It could be that's what he's asking. You could maybe say that. But that, the question, regardless, is a good question. It's still really a question on the Gemara then. I mean, because the Gemara does say, I mean, unless you learn, I guess, like Rabbi Yosef, that it's because it's Harbi. Right, I'm sorry. It's not a question on the Gemara. Yeah, it's a question on the Bahag. Right, my mistake. So it's a question on the Bahag that L'chayra Rufua is not a reason to make something nicker. It's not a food quality. So what you do have to explain in this Bahag is that that's not what it is. It's really a question like this. There's two types of drinks. There's an oil drink, and there's an anigrin drink. There's an anigrin drink that has an ingredient called oil, and then there's an oil drink, which has an ingredient called anigrin. And these are established foods. Look in your cookbook, and you'll find the recipe for this oil drink, and you'll find... Not your cookbook. Yeah, your...
Butter doesn't list olive.
No, no. Sorry. But in my cookbook, you know, you'll have an oil drink and you'll have an anigrin drink. And it's two established foods, right? Now, the fact is that the oil drink is usually only concocted by people that need a refuah, right? So the point is, we're trying to determine what type of food this is. It's not the fact that you're getting the benefit of refuah that makes it the ikar. That's not what the Bahag means. Yeah, you're right. Because, of course, the benefit of refuah would not make any difference in Hilchos Brachos. That's not a food benefit. The benefit of a refuah is just what determines what type of food you're trying to concoct. And he says the fact alone you put in a lot of oil, that's not enough to determine that it's the oil drink. Because that's like batla daita. Normal people don't drink that drink. It's only the sick people that drink that drink. So it only becomes that drink, which the oil is the main ingredient, when you're someone who has a sore throat. So to summarize, this is the point. This is the machlokes here. The Rabbeinu Yosef says that no matter what, it depends on harbe. It can't depend on if you have a sore throat or not, because let's go like the Torah explained, like we're explaining here, that the benefit of getting refuah just doesn't play a role in Hilchos Brachos. It's a totally side benefit. It's not a food aspect. It won't make any difference. Not ikar tuffel, nothing.
Why did the Gemara set it up that way?
The Gemara just said it because that was the case. That was just a typical case. Chai should be grinding because that's when someone would do it. But that's not really that's what he says. Slav dafka? That's not the point, right? The main point is that it's harbe. The Bahag will hold that it's true. A sore throat in itself is not why it's an ikar tuffel. A sore throat is just what determines what type of food you're trying to create. And this is an established type of food. There is two foods here. There is a oil drink and there is an anigrin drink. And the way we know what you're doing, and the only way we believe you, so to speak, what you're doing, is if you have a sore throat. Because that's when people do drink this type of drink. And therefore, then it becomes the ikar. But it's not because of that benefit that it's the ikar. It's the ikar because that's the purpose of the drink. Well,
this doesn't go by what this individual wants.
It does, but he's apparently saying that it's even being subjective, even if the guy wants to drink the oil drink, if you don't have a sore throat, it's like a batla daita or something. It's like not a normal thing to do. So therefore, we just don't pay attention to what you're saying. Well, the batla daita part? No, no one explains it that way. I'm just trying to explain it, yeah. Right, exactly. Correct, right. It's a form of a drink. Yeah, it's drinkable, Kinnira. Now, medicine is a different issue. Medicine is a whole different problem with it. Medicine, the problem with medicine, our medicine, let's say even cherry flavored Tylenol, it's not food at all. It's totally a medicine. Now, oil is a food. An igrin is a food. You're doing it to heal yourself. Medicine is created so not for eating purposes. Right. It's, normally that would define it's not a food. Right, kavana for a food, if anything, is a would define something as not being a food. Right, the only question with medicine is it happens to taste good, right? So I'm saying tasting good doesn't make something a food if it wasn't created to be a food to begin with. As I know, medicine is not our sugi here. Medicine is shlaki dar chila at all. That's why we don't make a bracha on cherry flavor Tylenol. Right, because it wasn't created to be a food to begin with.
But you do make a bracha on the oil.
Because oil is a food. Oil is a food. Right? You're using it for a food. But it is a food. Which? Oil?
You should make a bracha. It is food.
It is not mazik you if you drink it with anigrin. Mazik it's not.
Without anigrin.
Without anigrin.
Still food. You should. You are
not. It's mazik. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's not eating. Once it's mazik you, it's not called eating anymore. Yeah. Very good.
Behind the way the tar is raised.